Hey everyone, welcome in to a daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're kicking off today, Friday's editorials with Craig Hemke, founder and editor of tfmetalsreport.com. Now Craig, look, we can talk positively, optimistically about the precious metals because the precious metals have been moving. Now you can make the argument that the precious metals bottomed at the tail end of September and had a good October and November's following through. However, it really seems like these last five, six trading days, ever since that Fed meeting, we had some, I think, more significant breakouts and a bit more interest in the precious metals generally. Craig, let's just start off with some of the price levels that you're watching for gold as we are now in the final week or final day of this week. So the weekly close is important. And also your takeaway from the past moves over the last week and really over the last month and a half. Please share with us your thoughts.
Well, I tell you, Corey, it sure has been interesting. You know, I'd invite anybody to go to whatever, you know, trading site you use and pull up a daily chart of gold. Go back all the way to the first of the year if you want. And just look at how just the almost relentless. I think I can count maybe 27 or 28 massive red candles on the daily chart. If you go back to the first week of January, and there's just has been this crushing sentiment and downtrend and lower highs that has been persisting all the way into the most recent, what's pretty obvious, double bottom at 1720. Yeah, and I mean, you guys talk to everybody every day, and I go to Twitter, whatever. And I mean, by the time we got to the end of September, I mean, everything was gold is dead. I mean, if gold can't go up in this kind of environment, it's never going to, you know, I don't think I've seen sentiment be worse than it was even just 6 weeks ago. And lo and behold, we've been rallying ever since, and we're up $140 from those lows. So that's a pretty substantial rally with maybe, I guess, with today's move, the last six trading days, Thursday, Friday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, those 6 days were up now about $100. So something's afoot. Sentiment is finally beginning to shift. We're above the 200-day moving average rather comfortably. The 50-day moving average is starting to turn up. It looks like it might put a bullish cross on there in about the next couple of weeks. And more importantly, we finally made a higher high. That 1836 level on the December contract had been tapped three times, failing each time. And finally, man, when we blasted through on Wednesday, a bunch of stops got run, and we moved through 1836 up to 1846 in like 2 minutes. And now we've been continuing to go higher. Thursday was an interesting day because the bond market was closed for Veterans Day here in the U.S. So you didn't have, that kind of input impacting the machines that do most of the trading. And gold continued to drift higher. It's now above a trend line that you can draw from the January highs through the May highs. It's above that. So that'll be an interesting level to watch on Friday. Can we close above that line, which would be up around 1860 or so? And of course, obviously, we've got to hold this breakout too. The last thing we want to do is see another big, massive red candle and reversal back down below 1836. So there's a lot going on, but you can sense finally whether it's just, you know, just your interactions with people like on my side or on the internet, or whether it is a technical look, whether it's just finally making a higher high. You can sense that the flotilla is changing course, you know, doesn't change course in a minute, you know, but the whole thing is turning. And it'd be nice if we can finish the week strong and maintain that trend.
Yes, sir, Craig. The flotilla is changing course. And really, as Corey outlined in the intro, things kind of started picking up at the end of September when they dodged certain death and certain downward throws by not closing at bad monthly and quarterly closes. But it really was the Fed meeting that kicked off the big move. And when the taper talk came in, now we've broken above not just that trend line, but the 200-day moving average. We've also had silver and the miners playing along. Many people are looking at an inverse head and shoulders pattern set up in silver, where it's now above that neckline. So it's breaking out. And even the miners played ball and have had some double-digit moves really over the last few weeks. So what do you think as far as overhead resistance? How far could this move go? Where might it get capped? And what would the driver be, Craig, to break this puppy up over $1,900 gold? What would give it enough oomph to get there?
Well, you're right about the shares. Back on Wednesday, the GDX and the GDXJ both gapped up above their own 200-day moving averages. and then moved even higher on Thursday. So, you know, that's a pretty good look as well. There's reason to be buying them. I mean, if we're now in an uptrend again in gold, you know, all of the margin pressure that the producers have been experiencing gets relieved a little bit. You know, if they can start selling their primary product for a little, you know, a higher cost, right? So there's reason for the shares to be picking up as well. yes, that's encouraging too. What we're going to want to watch is one in silver. Silver is close to its 200-day. Above there, 20, which is 2550, we're talking 26. We know how important that level has been. And then you could extend toward those, you know, those earlier highs up near 28, which has always been a very important level. And again, this would coincide with this continuing recognition now that inflation is not transitory. I think that when you and I have, you guys and I have talked about this now, you know, I think this comes up almost every week. You know, it seems that the participants in the gold futures market, the side that usually is long, whether it's hedge funds or institutions or traders or whatever, those speculators have swallowed this transitory thing hook, line, and sinker, because the, I guess, most accurate, most correlated, whatever you want to do, relationship for gold prices over the decades are real interest rates. You know, you take your nominal rate, you subtract inflation from it. If you turn the 10-year note into a guaranteed loser in terms of purchasing power, it makes gold look pretty attractive. I mean, there's a fundamental reason for this. But yet we've had all these negative interest rates this year, and gold's done nothing. And it's as if, again, my only explanation is all these people would normally be buying gold in all its forms because of that have instead swallowed the Fed's line about transitory and thought, nah, you know what? And I'm not buying it. I think rates are going to go higher, and inflation is going to come down, and my 1.6% treasury note is actually going to end up being okay. So that now, I think the realization is starting to sink in, not only with the CPI this week, but the PPI. Producer price is now annualizing at 9%. That continues. That's going to continue to trickle down to the consumer. And so this transitory narrative isn't going away. And I think the market inefficiency of gold prices falling this year is starting to kind of work its way out. And usually market inefficiencies, once they're discovered, they seem to correct themselves and more move back toward an efficient market pretty quick. So we'll have to watch for that now in the days ahead.
So, Craig, look, I think it really does just depend on the rate of change and the direction of change that we were seeing in real rates, which have dropped fairly significantly just this month into much greater negative territory. But the fact of the matter is inflation is sticking around and even more so picking up steam. So that does provide a bit of a wake-up call for everybody. But how do you balance this out, too, with the Fed policy and also some of the rumors about what could happen at the Fed with potentially Jerome Powell exiting as Fed chairman? Now, these are only rumors, but look, let's chat about what is possible. You've been following some of these rumors. Share with us what you've been hearing.
Well, let me try to connect some of the dots, because nobody should be blindsided by this if this were to happen, okay? What do we know? Well, we know that Powell is still in charge. He's got to be renominated because his term ends in February. All right. And at the last FOMC 9 days ago, they gave this, you know, this oxymoron of dovish taper, right? Where they said, yeah, we're going to start tapering, but we can always change course if we need to. All right. So we know that. We know politically Biden is trying to walk this tightrope between trying to get things done with Pelosi and Manchin and the rest, but also trying to appease and not start a civil war in his party with the, you know, these kind of ultra progressives like Ocasio-Cortez and her crowd, right? They want trillions, not just $1 trillion in infrastructure spending. They want $3, $4, $5 trillion for global warming and social programs and all this kind of stuff. So how's he going to thread the needle here, right? Let me give you one more. Look at up and down his cabinet, you know, and the diversity that he has tried to put in. I mean, it's quite a diverse crowd, no matter, you know, where you look. It's not just a bunch of old white guys. So with all of that in mind, and if they're going to go down this road of needing Fed printed cash, Fed direct debt monetization to fund all these programs, I'm not sure Powell's your guy. So what do we know so far? Kaplan, Rosengren, both retiring at the end of this year. They've got to be replaced. Randall Quarles just announced this week he's retiring at the end of the year. He's got to be replaced. I can't remember if Vice Chairman Clarita, who also was implicated for insider trading off of the Fed stuff, I don't know if he, I mean, all these guys, even Powell himself. So last Tuesday the 4th, I believe is what it was, Biden was at that global warming conference in Scotland. You guys remember that?
Yep.
I mean, how could you miss it, right? At the conclusion of the conference, before he caught his flight home on Air Force One, he had a press conference. And one of the questions he took had to do with Powell. And basically, if I paraphrase it, the question said, hey, no president had ever gone this deep into the renomination process without renominating the current head of the Fed. I mean, it's due in February. No one's ever waited until November before. You want to tell us, you know, if you're going to renominate Powell? And he danced, and he weaved, and he shuffled his papers. And even though it was set up on a tee for him to say, yes, Powell's my man, he said, I'll get back to you. We'll know soon enough, something like that. What? So then he boards a flight because he said that's what was next on his agenda. He was going to touch down in Washington at 2 a.m. on Wednesday. And so he does. And like anybody else who flies back from Europe, he takes a day to recover, get his act together. And then on Thursday, and this is what's curious, on Thursday it was reported that not only was Powell seen at the White House, so was Lael Brainard, the favorite Fed governor of all those progressives in Congress. And Lael, man, she's a big-time MMT proponent, uber dove. So, and she's a woman. She's not an old white guy like Powell, appointed by Trump. So what's she doing there? It's later reported on Monday by Bloomberg that she was there for a job interview. Their words, not mine. It's also reported on Monday that Biden is going to have an announcement on his Fed head nomination before Thanksgiving in the U.S., which is in 2 weeks. So let's connect some dots here. This happens on Thursday. What else happened on Thursday? Well, the Fed meeting concluded on Wednesday at the 10-year note at 161. It immediately plunged. By the end Friday, it had fallen all the way back to 146. After selling off a little bit on Monday, it was back down to 143 on Tuesday. So in 4 days after Brainard shows up at the White House, connecting all these dots, the Treasury market rallies 10%? From 161 to 143, who's buying treasuries? Now, granted, the treasury market sold off on Wednesday after all that CPI data, but what would you expect, for God's sake, 6% CPI? But still is below where it was at the end of the FOMC. Did the bond market figure this out? Did the bond market begin to connect all the dots as I just did? That the announcement isn't going to be Powell for a second term. The announcement is going to be Lael Brainard. And then Biden not only gets to name her, he gets to name the replacement for Rosengren, Kaplan, Quarles, Clarita. I mean, talk about remaking the Fed in your own image for all of this spending you want to do over the rest of your administration. Man, I'm telling you, and again, gold's up $100 since Thursday, last Thursday as well. Gold market sniffed this out. Look, I'm just telling you. I mean, who am I? I'm just this dope out here in the middle of nowhere, you know, like I'm John Nash connecting all these strings on his wall. But if sometime in the next 10 days it's announced that Lael Brainard is going to be your next head of the Fed, don't say you weren't warned by the dope with a MacBook.
Well, Craig, I think you're a very sharp dope with the MacBook. Yeah. I like that you connected all the strings there. It's possible that when Biden was sleeping at that conference, that maybe he was just deeply in thought about who he was going to replace on the Fed. He's building the dream team. So if they come in with an MMT focus and, you know, let's spend until the end of eternity, what's a few more trillion dollars amongst friends? Do you think that the general markets will, maybe that's what you're saying, that the bond markets and people in the precious metals are already figuring out the Fed puts there? Do you think it's possible that they will actually get partway into this tapering and say, you know what, guys, never mind. We're going to have to keep, being more accommodative again, and we're going to have to backstop all of the spending from the government so the spigots are back open again. Do you think that's the message the markets are getting here, sniffing this out early?
Right. Exactly, brother. And again, this isn't just the rantings of a lunatic gold bug. Everything that's not nailed down is going to go up. I mean, look at the stock market since QE started again in what, March of 2020. Look at just this year, riding the 50-day moving average at a 45-degree angle. Why? Because they're creating $120 billion a month, and part of that cash is always going to slosh into the stock market. It's going to get levered up 10, 20, 30 times, and there's no place else for it to go. And so the stock market would benefit from a Brainerd Fed as well. I mean, everything would. Now, the average person that doesn't own stocks is going to get the crap kicked out of them like they are now because inflation is going to only continue to get worse. Look, the Fed, we've been talking about this, guys, for a year and a half. The Fed has done this before, 1942 to 1951 yield curve control. The last time debt to GDP got to these levels, that's how the Fed combated it. They tried to pay off yesterday's debt with cheaper currency of tomorrow. They did that through yield curve control and negative real rates. The Chicago Fed just put out another paper on this last month. Okay, this is where this is all headed. They're going to try to just print and print and try to grow faster than the debt grows. And they're going to try to manage it that way. That's how they don't know anything else. That's how they've done it before. That's how they'll do it again. Lael Brainerd would be the perfect person at the head of the Fed to do it. And at the end of the day, let's again connect the dots back to last March. Gold was $1,480 and falling on Friday night, March the 20th, 2020. Before the gold could open, before any of the markets could open, on Monday, March 23rd, you got QE to infinity, $120 billion a month, emergency rate cuts down to zero, this alphabet soup of Fed, you know, agencies and stuff where they're going to be parking cash, support of the corporate bond market, support of the muni market, all that kind of crap happened. Gold went up $100 the first day, went up $100 the second day, caused all these massive disruptions. It then went sideways into June. But then once it broke out from 1680, went to 2080 in 8 weeks. So we went from 1480 to 2080. That's about 40% in 5 months, okay, under that set of circumstances. Hey, if Lael Brainerd is going to be your new Fed chairwoman, and we go down the road of MNT and trillion-dollar coins and all that kind of stuff, it's not out of the question. I mean, there's your precedent. There's a 40% rally in 5 months. It's not out of the question that gold could go up 40% in 5 months again. Everybody listening can do the math. And is that what's been sniffed out with a $100 rally in the last 5 days? I would suggest that that's a distinct possibility.
Yeah, we'll see how it all plays out, Craig, because again, there's just a whole lot of moving parts heading into next year and that whole other concept of who might even be running the Fed and then what might that change their policies. We don't know, but the fact of the matter is what we can watch is all the data that comes in and what the markets are telling us, because we haven't seen a huge sell-off in the U.S. equity markets. The U.S. dollar's running higher, and so are some of the other safe havens like gold, even cryptos are continuing to move higher. So a lot of positivity for the markets. And finally, that positivity has come back into the precious metals because, boy, oh boy, it has been a pretty long and painful year, I guess. But not that painful to the downside, just long and sideways. Craig, thanks as always for your time, buddy. We'll chat again next week. You have a great weekend.
You too, boys. It's always fun to talk.